And thank you for coming this evening. It's good to see you. We do appreciate you taking the time to come along to hear the gospel being preached. Please remember the meetings as they continue in the will of God in this week, tomorrow evening and Thursday evening. We continue with the children here in the hall at 6:30, and then at the same time it's 8:15 with the adults both tomorrow and Thursday night. So you're very welcome, and I'd love to see you again if you're able to come along. Now we're going to read, please, in Luke's Gospel in chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 for our reading, and we'll read from verse number 1 down to verse number 5. Luke chapter 13, verses 1 down to verse number 5. They were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And we trust that God will bless his word to us. The gospel is seen by many people as a strange message. And I suppose it is in many ways a strange message to listen to. For after all, a word, the gospel, that really means good news. A message which has that as its title seems to have much of its content which you could perhaps hardly describe as good news. And a message of good news it is, yet it is set on a very dark background. And it is necessary for a very serious reason. So in that sense, I suppose it is a strange message. Whenever I speak the gospel to boys and girls and men and women, I usually get responses which don't really vary that much. People who don't like to hear the gospel or who won't accept what the Bible says come back to me with certain responses. Now these responses are not new. These responses are the same responses that the Lord Jesus received when he was here many, many years ago. Now we've read of two issues that the Lord Jesus faced when he was here. Two issues which are often mentioned when the gospel is preached or spoken. When the love of God is declared, as it is in the gospel, and when the gift of his son is mentioned, and when salvation is explained, very often people will come back and say, well, hold on a minute, there's one or two things that concern me, or one or two things that I don't understand, or perhaps one or two things that I object to when you tell me that God is a God of love, and God has loved the world, and God has given his son, and God wants to save us. And perhaps you have one or two objections to that yourself as you listen to it. Well, you may find that your objections are the same as the objections that were made to the Lord Jesus. We've read of two issues, one of which was made to the Lord Jesus and the other that he raised himself. At that season, there were some who were listening to the Lord Jesus and they raised a current issue. If there had been rolling 24-hour news, then this would have been rolling along the bottom of the screen. This would have been on every news flash. This was current. This was the issue of the moment. And the issue of the moment had thrown up questions that people wanted answers, that seemed to contradict or be inconsistent with the message that the Lord Jesus was preaching. They referred to what we could call an atrocity. It was part of what you might describe nowadays on a grander scale as ethnic cleansing. And we don't need to watch many news bulletins or listen to many news bulletins or read many papers until we come across incidents like this all over the world. They're not new. And this one was a particularly savage incident. A man called Pilate, who was a man, a Roman, who was in authority controlling the area of Palestine by force. They were an invading and occupying army. And as part of their repression of the people and as part of their putting down of revolts that came from time to time, something had happened and Pilate in his brutality had slain the people, some of the people from the Galilee area, and this had been compounded by what he had done thereafter. He had mingled their blood with their religious sacrifices. So he not only had slaughtered people, he also through his soldiers had caused great offence to the people. Well, you listen to this and the Middle East is bubbling away again. Gaza. People dying on either side. You go down in your news, in your mind, go down into Africa. And everywhere you look, there's conflict and bloodshed. Tribe against tribe, country against country. You go out to the Far East, and you find from place to place it's no different. We've heard a lot about Afghanistan of recent days. And you see, you don't need to go very far, do you, to find that this is not a new thing, nor is it an old thing. It's present. It always has been. Well, you know, the people wanted to know what the Lord Jesus thought about that. An atrocity. What do you think about it? You might see the pictures, the seemingly needless bloodshed, the brutality and the awful heartlessness of people who slaughter others, even in times of war. And perhaps into your mind has come the question, if there is a God, and if he's a God of love, and if he's a sovereign, all-powerful God, as the Bible says he is, and if he is a God for whom it is said that he upholds all things by the word of his power, and he is not out of control, then how is it that men are able to do such things? How is it that men are able to effect such atrocities as happened here? Well, that was one of the issues that was presented to the Lord Jesus. Well, you know, wasn't the only one. The Lord Jesus answered, and he answered strangely. He answered in this way. He said, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. And he asked them a question. And he said, do you think that these people were any worse than the other people? And you come, boys, just fill up the seats at the back there and have a seat. It's good to see you. I'm just reading from the Bible and speaking about the Gospel. And I'll just fill you in with what I've said. I've just started for a few minutes. I'm speaking about some people who object to hearing the Gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, because they feel that it's inconsistent with some of the things going on in the world and some of the violence and some of the atrocities that people see. And the Bible says that God is a God of love. And how can it be that God is a God of love if these things happen in the world? But you know, the Lord Jesus, when he was responding to that very issue, he raised another thing and he said this. He said, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. And what he was basically saying was this. Do you think that these people who suffered the atrocity that I read about in the Bible, do you think they deserved it, or do you think they were any worse than anyone else? And he never answered the question, but he went on and he raised another issue with them. He says, well, that's an atrocity, but what about accidents? There was an accident in a place called Siloam when a tower fell down and 18 people died in that accident. And accidents happen all the time. They happen everywhere and people die as a result of accidents. And he raised the issue, and maybe you think about that when you hear the Gospel. What about people who die in accidents? What about people who die in atrocities? How can that be reconciled with the Gospel, which is the good news of Jesus Christ? Well, you know, the Lord Jesus said this, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now here's a thing or two. When the Lord Jesus said these things, he was speaking about an accident and an atrocity, and there was a kind of inevitability about it. There was an unavoidable aspect to it. These people slaughtered in Galilee, these people involved in an accident, it seems as if they were powerless to avoid it. But then there's another point. Although they were involved in it, they were involved in an accident and they were involved in an atrocity, but not everyone was involved in it. But they were. The Lord Jesus takes these very serious issues and he takes them and then he speaks about something else and he speaks about something which is spiritual. He speaks about something that's eternal. And no matter how bad an atrocity is upon earth and no matter how serious an accident is upon earth, the Lord Jesus said, listen, I'm going to use these two things to speak to you about something that is even more serious, something that has longer term implications than even an accident or an atrocity. I want to speak to you about the issue of repentance. I want to speak to you about perishing. And that's what I want to speak to you for a few minutes about here in the gospel. You know, the gospel message is a wonderful message. I've read from the Bible because the gospel is from the Bible. It's a message from the Bible. It's good news. It's about a Saviour, Jesus Christ, who left heaven, God's Son, and came down to earth and died upon a cross 2,000 years ago in order that sinners might be saved, in order that people who have sinned against God, which is all of us, might have our sins forgiven and through accepting Jesus Christ as our Saviour, might be saved for all eternity, saved from God's judgment, saved that we might be in heaven. It's a great message. It's God's message from God's book and it is good news. It's a message that has so many different aspects to it. For example, it tells us about the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says about the Lord Jesus that there was no sin in him. In him was no sin. And he came to put away sin. He came to deal with sin, to take away sin. And in him is no sin. He's different from every one of us. We all sin. We were born as sinners. He was not born as a sinner. He never sinned. Yet he died for sinners upon the cross of Calvary. The sinlessness of the Lord Jesus. It's important to know that. But it's also important to know about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says Christ died for our sins. That's true. But it also tells us that he suffered for our sins. And that refers to his experience of suffering upon the cross of Calvary. When he suffered there upon that tree, when men did their utmost to cause him pain and suffering and humiliation. And the Bible does tell us that once at the end of the age, he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And he suffered there upon the cross. And he died upon the cross. And he was buried and he rose again from the dead. These are the great facts of the gospel. And they are good news for every single person. That there is a Saviour for us. For anyone, for everyone. A Saviour. One who can actually come into your life. And who can change your life and who can save you from your sins and set you on the road to heaven. A Saviour. It's good news. There is no other news like it upon earth. But you know, that's not the whole story. It is good news to hear of a Saviour and there is only one Saviour, Jesus Christ. The Bible records his words and he said this. He said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The Bible says there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, according to God's word, is the way of salvation for every person because he's the only one who can take away our sin. He sacrificed himself upon the cross, gave himself to the sufferings there upon that cross. But that's not the whole story. The Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross, and yes, he died, and yes, he suffered, yes, he was buried, yes, he rose again. But that does not mean that every single person is going to heaven. It does not mean that everyone is saved. In fact, most folk aren't saved. For in order to be saved, it is not only that you must trust the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, that is true. The Bible says that you must repent of your sin, and that is equally true. In fact, the Lord Jesus put it this way, except ye repent, ye will all likewise perish. Now, not everyone is involved in accidents or atrocities. That does not happen to everyone. But this does happen to everyone. This is for everyone. This is something that's not only serious, this is something that's relevant to everyone. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter your situation, your experience, your history. It doesn't even matter what you think about eternity. The Bible tells us that eternity is a reality for all of us. And the reality is that if we go out to meet God without having our sins forgiven, without Jesus Christ as Saviour, we'll perish. There is no hope without Christ as our Saviour. But in order to receive Him as our Saviour, we must repent of our sin. What does the word mean? To repent. It means this. For example, if you're walking down the street this way and you decide to go in the opposite direction, then what you are doing is really putting into practice the meaning of this word. Because it means to change your mind and to do something about that and go in the opposite direction. So if you have been, as you have been, born as a sinner and have lived your life as a sinner, to repent of your sin is to change your mind about sin. To no longer see it as something that's attractive and something you want to go after, but to see it as God sees it, which is something that falls far short of His standard and is actually attracting the condemnation of God and will take you into an eternity of judgment. And to change your mind about sin is to repent of your sin, to see it as it is, as God declares it to be, and to do something about that. And what you need to do is to turn your back in sin. You see, as you're born with your face towards sin and your back toward God. But you know, as you repent of sin, you change. There is a great change that takes place. And from having your back toward God and your face towards sin, when you repent of sin, you turn your face toward God and you turn your back against sin. You make a decision that you want Jesus Christ as your Saviour and you do not want sin to be the dominant thing in your life. That is what repentance is. It is, to put it succinctly, to turn your back on sin. Now, no one can be saved unless they make that decision. No one can be saved. No one will be in heaven by simply saying yes to Jesus or making some positive decision regarding the Lord Jesus without addressing the problem of sin. Salvation requires repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus put it this way, listen, except you repent, you'll perish. Doesn't matter what you think about the Lord Jesus. Doesn't matter in this sense whether you accept the Bible to be true. Unless you come to that point in your life where you decide about your sin, you'll never see heaven. You'll never be in heaven. You need to repent of sin. Now, repentance is a big thing. Repentance is a serious thing. Repentance is not an emotional knee-jerk reaction to some music or great preaching or something like that, but rather it is a decision you make, as if it were in the cold light of day, when you weigh your whole circumstance and realize before God you're a guilty sinner and your sin is going to not only separate you from God in time, but it will be a barrier between you and God for all eternity. Sin separates from God. You know, it's one thing to live your life here upon earth separated from God. That is to live a poorer life than God would have you live. But I tell you this, it's an altogether different thing to die separated from God and to go into eternity separated from God. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ, when raising and dealing with these issues which dominate even minds today, atrocities, news events, seeming injustice, all that this earth has to make life miserable for so many people, and people rail at God and they shake the fist and they dismiss God and they say, "He's there. Why hasn't He intervened? Why has He done nothing about all of this?" The fact of the matter is, He has intervened in a most dramatic fashion and in a most decisive manner. And He hasn't just intervened to deal with one issue or another issue or one symptom or another symptom. He intervened to deal with the root cause of the whole thing, which is sin. And at great cost to Himself, He sent His Son to that experience of suffering and shame and humiliation and sacrifice at Calvary. And so He has intervened. And He will intervene again. The question is not so much in a global scale. The question I want to ask you is this. Has He intervened in your life? Have you allowed such an intervention? Have you faced up to your sin and made a decision and said no to sin and say yes to the Lord Jesus? You cannot have one and the other. And so repentance is that which is central to the gospel, essential for salvation, often overlooked. That is why sometimes people appear to become Christians and then their lifestyle, there's no change, and before long you find this, that they no longer hold themselves out to be a Christian. They've never faced up to their sin. And that is why one of the defining characteristics of a Christian is this, that a Christian no longer habitually is characterized by sin. The Bible teaches sin is a thing of the past in terms of the defining character of someone's life when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Well, you know, many people hear the gospel. They hear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're willing to come along part of the, maybe the whole way, with regard to what they hear about the Savior. They would disagree with me or with perhaps others who preach, or even they wouldn't disagree if they know the Bible or read the Bible, and maybe you're the same. Maybe you in your heart of hearts believe there is an eternity and there is a God and Jesus Christ is real. And yes, he died upon a cross and yes, he went back to heaven. And if I was to press you and ask you, you'd say, yes, I believe all of that. But you know, in your heart of hearts, you know this. You're still not saved. How can that be? For after all, the Lord Jesus taught, and the Bible teaches, in fact, about the Lord Jesus, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And you say, I do believe. I've always believed. There's never been a time in my life where I've never believed. Well, it's just exactly the same. Right, as far as I can remember, I believe that Jesus Christ was real. I can't remember a time in my life when I didn't believe that he was real. I can't remember a time in my life where I didn't believe that God was true and real and the Bible was true and all of these things. I've always believed in that sense. But you know, there came a time in my life where I had to face up to the fact that I was a sinner. A sinner who believed all about the Bible, but still a sinner. And I had to make a decision. Would I continue in my sin? Or would I actually seek salvation? I made that decision while I was still in the confines of a Christian home. I think this, if I hadn't made the decision in the confines of a Christian home, once I get out of that confines, what was in my heart would have been manifested in the way I lived. You see, I was still in the restrictions and the Christian atmosphere, so I wasn't living a wild life or anything like that, nothing like it. But I knew this. If I hadn't got saved then and gone out into the world, things would have been different. For what was in here would have come out. I needed to be saved. I needed to repent of my sin. I needed to ask Jesus Christ to be my Saviour, but not without dealing with my sin. You know, many people come a long way, as I said, with the gospel. They even like to hear about the love of God. They're comforted by it. They believe in an eternity, heaven and hell. They would say yes. But when it comes to the issue of sin, that's a different matter. When it comes to facing up and accepting and believing in their heart that they are actually a guilty, hell-deserving sinner, then that's a different matter. I wonder why that is. You know, the Bible gives us some reasons. One is this. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. It means just this. People love sin. People love sin. It's attractive. Mesmerizes you. Appeals, it draws you. Fascinates you. You taste it and you want more. You taste it again and you want more again. And it somehow calls you, it pulls you. And people face up to it and they look at salvation. And then they look at their sin, whatever that sin may be. And they make a choice. And they say, what would I rather have? Would I rather be saved or would I rather be able to live my life as I want and live it in all the sin that I can? What am I going to do? What am I going to choose? And people choose sin over the Saviour. deliberate choice, because they love sin. But then other people, the Bible would teach us, refuse to repent of sin and trust the Saviour for a different reason. And very sadly, in the last book of the Bible, a category of people stand before a throne ready to be judged. And they are described in this way, as the fearful. The fearful. People who are afraid to get saved. For fear is a terrible thing. Sometimes older people are afraid of change. They're afraid of decisions. Just the status quo will do. Been like this for a lifetime, so a little more. That's just the way I'll go on. Too much change. Too much upheaval to become a Christian. And then younger people, they don't like the idea of becoming a Christian because they don't like the idea of change either. Fearful of being different, fearful of standing out, fearful of being associated with the cross and with Jesus Christ, fearful of ridicule, fearful of being different can be a very compelling thing. Fear. Fear of people. Fear of the unknown. The Lord Jesus one day spoke about fear, and he was speaking really about those who would persecute the Christians, and he was saying, listen, don't fear those, even if they can kill the body. There is someone greater to fear than even someone with that power. Rather fear him that can kill both body and soul in hell. There is a God to be feared. And your fear, whatever it may be, if it's keeping you back from salvation, that fear of change, that fear of ridicule, maybe that fear, whatever it may be, and it's holding you back, and it may be that you're choosing sin over the Saviour, or it may be that this fear is in you, whatever it is. Remember this, that when you pass over into eternity, you leave the fear of man behind. And you enter into an experience that is fearful in an altogether different way. Fear. So some people, they love sin, and other people, well, they're just afraid, and some people, they refuse to face up to their sin and trust the Saviour because, well, they just never get around to doing it. They think, well, we'll go on a wee bit, I'll do it my time, in my way, in my terms, and I'll live like this. I know that, you know, other people have done it, and you say, listen, they lived for 20, 30, 40 years, and then they get saved, and then look what they did, they enjoyed themselves out there in the world, and they did this and went there and all that kind of thing, and maybe you've a role model in your mind, someone whom you admire, someone that you want to emulate, someone that you think did it the right way, and they waited until a certain time, then they got saved. You know, the Bible does not give us the luxury of such a decision. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Every single day the news is dominated by people who are taken ill or accidents or emergencies, and unexpectedly people are finding themselves out into God's eternity every single day. But there's something within us that somehow tells us, well, that's for other people. That's not for me. I'll be alright. Well, listen, friend, there's a need to repent of sin and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Lord Jesus says this, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There is no possibility of anything else. If you enter eternity without repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, there is an inevitability that you will perish, that everyone who enters in such a basis will perish. And what is it to perish? I don't know if you ever think about it. Whenever I think about it, the natural mind rebels against it. Can't grapple with it. Almost rejects it. even the concept of eternity. You cannot bring it into the frame of your human thinking. We think in terms of time and in terms of days and weeks and months and years. Eternity is not like that. And when we think about perishing, we think about maybe someone perishing in the ocean and their life being lost and their life being finished. Or we might think of some terrible experience which goes on for a period of time and then stops. That concept is not consistent with what the Bible teaches about eternity. I don't have the ability to paint a sufficiently accurate word picture to you. But the Bible does speak about perishing. It speaks about hell. And ultimately it speaks about the lake of fire. Terrible places. But real places. Places which are occupied by people. It is a tragedy. It is sad when you think about it, when you allow your mind to dwell upon it. That perhaps you will spend eternity in hell. You say, no, not me. In your heart, not me. Now listen. He said you repent. You shall all likewise perish. You cannot dictate to God terms in relation to heaven. God has declared his terms in his word. He has provided salvation. The gospel is a message to be obeyed. Repentance is that which we must face up to if we're ever going to have Jesus Christ as our Savior. The preachers of the gospel in the Bible consistently preached it. The Lord Jesus preached it. We've heard him. The Apostle Peter preached it. The Apostle Paul preached it. They all preached it. It's such an essential component of this wonderful message. And so if you like to hear the gospel, if you're familiar with the gospel, if you agree with the gospel, remember this. It will do you no good whatsoever unless you repent of your sin and turn to Jesus Christ for salvation. Listen again to this verse. Take it home with you. Let it burn into your mind. I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Trust the Lord will bless this little text to us this evening. And give us help to face up and confront the problem of sin in our lives. And repent of our sin. And accept God's offer of mercy in his Son by faith. Let's pray and bring the meeting to a conclusion. Our God and Father, we bow in thy presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the opportunity to say a little in the gospel. We think of all who have heard this evening. We think of those who came in and then left and pray thy blessing upon them, asking thee that they may have taken away with them something of thy word. And Father, we pray for everyone in the room and ask thee, O God, to challenge our hearts in relation to eternity. O God, speak, we pray, that every one of us might face up to our situation and ask ourselves whether we are saved or not, whether we've repented. Our God, we ask thee to speak as we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you again.